So we are back in the life series. This is still all of this that we're doing is a part of the life series. So it's not like we're starting something different. What you're doing is just more a practical application of what I'm teaching, basically. So we are continuing our life series. Lights are good. Just checking. Okay. And I know it's been probably 4 weeks or so. So I'm just going to give you a quick summary of eternal life. That's a part of our life series. Just a reminder here. Okay. And if you want to get to the pages where we're going to be, we're going to be back in Matthew 11, 28 through 29. We're really 28 through 30, but not all today. But that's where we'll be probably over the next couple of weeks, still in those three verses. Chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. So we did an overview like 4 weeks ago, a month ago or so. We kind of went through it all. Today I'm going to do a similar thing, but we're going to focus on one word, which is the word yoke. Yoke. That'll be our focus today. Yoke. And then next week will be burden. That'll be the focus. But today will be just yoke. All right. Before we get to that, though, let's look at a summary of eternal life, just of what I've taught through over the past probably couple of months. That was a couple of months back when I started that series. But eternal life is not about duration, but it's what? Let's see how much you remember. Eternal life is not just about duration, but it's also what? What is eternal life?
Quality.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Debbie. Come on now. I need to know that you guys are listening to me and Pastor Brian when we teach. So you're right. Eternal life is just not about duration, how long something is, but it's about quality of life or type of life. Who is the person that has the life? Who has the life, huh?
Jesus.
Sister Debbie, you can't be the answer person.
All right, I'm done.
What was that called in school? You call it, I was going to say teacher's pet. That was the wrong word. But you know what I'm saying, that know-it-all, right? In class, it's just always raising their hand. So, Sister Debbie, you already answered too. So, you got to. Okay. You said Jesus. Okay, all right. Let's go, Lexi. So, the person that has the life is God, is Christ. God has the ultimate life, the eternal life, right? God brought his life, his eternal life, down through who?
Jesus.
Jesus, yep. I already said it. There we go. Right? You're done. Amen. So God brought that eternal life to see what it looks like as a human. He brought it down to us through Jesus. He brought heaven down through Christ in one regards. Okay? God is inviting us into this life through the gospel, through Jesus. Right? We see that. As we fellowship with Jesus, we enter into his what? Life, right? That eternal life, right? We know him. That's what John says. If you know Christ, you know the Father, you know eternal life. So as we fellowship with Jesus, we know God, we know Christ. And so we enter into that eternal life, right? And this life will be experienced in the fullness right now. And that will we experience all of eternal life right now, saints?
No.
How would you finish that sentence? We're not going to finish it or experience it all now, but when will we experience it all? How would you answer that statement? There we go. Okay, right. So we will experience this life now. There's part. Eternal life begins when the moment you accept Jesus, that life begins to come in you. You experience eternal life. But we'll experience the fullness of that life in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom to come, right? In the age to come. So that's the fullness, right? So good job, saints. Good job. You guys were paying attention. Not all going to sleep on me, all right? Now, with that thought, we're going to transition to Matthew 11. Because this has to do, remember what Jesus says, to know eternal life is to know God and it's to know me. And so Matthew 11 is about us knowing Jesus. And as we know and walk with Jesus, we get to experience and know eternal life. So that's why we're reading Matthew 11. Okay? So in Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30, if you recall, the last time I was up here teaching on this subject, sorry, let me pause. I didn't pray before I just jumped into my teaching. Let's back up. Heavenly Father God, thank you for your word, Lord God. Speak, Lord, through me. Speak to your children, God. Holy Spirit, just illuminate the text, God. Make it come alive to them as you've made it come alive to me. Glorify your name, God, through your word and by your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you recall, saints, the last time I was teaching on this subject, I called it the invitation, right? Even though we did a high-level summary over all three verses, we called it the invitation because of what Jesus said in verse 28 of Matthew 11. He says to come unto me, right? So that's what we kind of looked at. We called it the invitation, and it was a high-level overview of everything here in Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. And today, what I want to do is kind of back up a little bit. Because last time I was up here, we briefly touched on yoke and burden. And what I want to do now is I want to back up and I want to really dig into the historical context of this word yoke that you find here in these verses where Jesus says to come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says to take my yoke upon you. And learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And he says it again in verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. All right, light. So to recap again from these verses, if you remember when we went over these verses, the aim or the target of the people that Jesus was saying these words of come unto me, the people that he was targeting were those first century Israelites who were under the Jewish religious structure. If you remember that, I kind of explained that. That's the people he was talking about. He was talking about those people, those Israelites who were yoked to the Jewish current religious structure. And that structure can be very burdensome, it could be very hard, and he was telling those people to come unto me and I will give you rest, to take my yoke upon you. But as I also mentioned last time, that this verse can be expanded beyond the first century and beyond the Jewish religious system. Why? Because all of life, I would say, is religious, and even Satan himself, Satan has a yoke and burden that you must carry if you rock with him. Did you know that? Did you know that if you are following Satan, if you are rocking with the devil, he actually has a yoke and a burden that you have to carry if you walk with him? Let me give an example of that. Think about gang or street life. Okay? Think about gang or street life. If you are in a gang or if you are part of that street life, there are rules in the gang. There are rules in the street life. There are burdens that you have to carry. There's a yoke, actually, that if you are yoked up to the streets, if you're yoked up to the gang, think about it. You often have to constantly prove that you are down for the set. You're down for my block. You have to show that you're down for the gang. You have to actually carry this burden of always trying to prove to yourself that you are about that life. Especially if you're with your boys, you got to constantly show that you are tough, that can nobody disrespect you. Why? Because even the streets, and I say even Satan, who's directing the streets, even the gangs, they have burdens, they have yokes, they have rules that you have to carry. So even gang members can get stressed out too. Gang members and street dudes can get stressed out. And to use Jesus' language, gang members and street dudes can also be weary and heavy laden from the yoke and burden of the street life, because it's a lot, it demands a lot. So I hope that you're getting just a little bit better understanding what this term yoke means when Jesus uses it. Now, what I want to do next is I want to give you just a bare bones basic definition of yoke, right? Because I believe that once you get a better understanding of how Jesus is using this term yoke, it'll open up this passage here and it'll make it make a lot more sense. It'll be a lot more clear. So what I want to do is just give you a bare bones understanding of yoke. We're going to just go through that and then I'll send you off into your groups. All right. So let's go with a bare bones definition of yoke. A yoke is technically, it's a contraption that brings together two animals. And so what I did early in the week, hope everybody's seen the picture, but I put a picture of a yoke in the chat group. Did everybody see that picture? So we all seen that. Did you see that contraption that was on those two, I think those were oxes, I'm not sure what they were, right? But there was this contraction that was holding these two oxes together, and that was the yoke. And that yoke was used to make sure those ox stay together, and they're being and they're walking in stride when the owner's pushing them to carry whatever load or burden that he had for them. So that's what a yoke is. A yoke was this, again, it was this contraction that you would put on the necks of animals. I forgot, I said I was going to put a timer for my teaching, and I didn't do that. All right, I'll have to be looking at my clock because I have a certain time where I have to be done here. All right, so that's the technical definition of a yoke. We all clear there? Now here's where you'll see the change here. This term yoke later was adopted, and we're going to go to some historical stuff, so nerd out with me here. So this term yoke was later adopted by rabbinic Judaism, this is key, to demonstrate what it means to be a part of the Jewish faith. So you have to understand that. This term yoke was later adopted by rabbinic Judaism, Phariseeism, right, to demonstrate what it means to become Jew or to be a part of the Jewish faith. So if you were going to commit to Judaism and become a Jew, a rabbi would say this to you. This is important. He would say that you must take on the yoke of heaven if you're going to become a Jew. So if you're going to convert to Judaism, or if you're a Gentile, you're going to convert to Judaism, that rabbi, that teacher would tell you that you have to take on the yoke of heaven. Or they would say you must take on the yoke of the kingdom of heaven. And this meant, this is key, this meant that you believe and that you were going to submit to the God of Israel, Yahweh. So that's what that meant in rabbinic Judaism. This is the time of Jesus. This is what yoke meant. It meant you were, again, you were coming and committing yourself to Yahweh, to the God of Israel. You were going to submit to his ways. You were taking on the yoke of heaven. You were taking on the yoke of the kingdom of heaven. Now, once you took on the yoke of the kingdom of heaven, meaning you were going to commit to this, you would also take on the yoke of the Torah. That was the next thing. You would take on the yoke of heaven, and then you would take on the yoke of the Torah. And by taking on the yoke of the Torah is what we call the Old Testament, right? We call it the Old Testament. Jewish people, that is offensive for them, for you to call their stuff old, right? They have the Tanakh, right? The Torah. So you would take on the yoke of the Tanakh or the Torah, and this meant that you were going to submit to all of the commandments and rules that we find in the Old Testament. That's what it meant to take on the yoke of the Torah. So you would take on the yoke of heaven, meaning I'm going to submit to the God of Israel, I'm going to believe in him, and then I'm going to take on the yoke of the Torah, meaning I'm going to submit to all of the laws and the decrees and the commandments that we find in the Old Testament. Are you tracking with me here? Is this clear, right? This is very important that you understand that. That's foundational to understanding what Jesus is saying here. So that's yoke. Now here's the problem with all that I just said. I just said if you're going to take on the yoke of the Torah, admit that you had to submit to everything that's written in the Torah, all the commandments, everything that it states. The problem is, what did I put here? Oh, the problem is, how do you interpret what the Torah states? That was the biggest problem. How do you interpret what the Torah states? So, for example, the Torah tells us in Exodus, or Old Testament, however you want to say it, in Exodus 20, verse 8 through 10, that you should do no work on the Sabbath, right? Ten Commandments. We're all aware of that, right? That's what it states in the Old Testament. You should do no work on the Sabbath. Question is, what is work? It says you should do no work on the Sabbath. Okay, what is work? How do you interpret work? What does it mean to work? That was the major problem that Judaism had. It's like, okay, you take on, or we don't do any work on the Sabbath, so then what is work? In comes the rabbis. And I'm giving you a high-level overview of all of this. You can really go into much more detail. But to answer this problem of what is work, just as an example, in comes the rabbi system, the Pharisaical system. And as I mentioned last week, there were two major schools of rabbinical thought, two major schools of rabbinical Phariseeism. in the first century, and not only in the first century, but even right now. I was researching this topic, and I was listening to, I was researching Hillel and Shammai, listening to like these Jewish podcasts, and the guys kept saying, no, we, it doesn't matter what they say, we follow Hillel. So they, even to this day, many Jews decide either I'm going to follow Hillel or Shammai, up until this present day. But especially in the first century period, rabbinic Judaism was split between two major schools. There was Shammai and there was Hillel, right? And if you recall, Shammai, he had the more, and matter of fact, before I say that, some of us may want to pick up and throw stones at these Jews, like, what do you mean? How did they allow all of the Old Testament to fall under the interpretation of two people? Before you pick up a stone and throw stones at them, understand that we do this as well. Okay, we create sages and holy guys that we esteem and look up to, especially in a reform camp, i.e. John Calvin. There's people that celebrate his birthday. They celebrate on October 31st when he nailed his 95 theses. So we do the same thing. We create holy people and sages that we look up to. Some of you now, what's the guy that's the popular preacher right now?
Philip Mitchell.
There you go. Christianity will treat him as a sage. Oh, if he preaches and says something, oh, that's something, right? We all do it. We find people who we like, and we treat them as these holy, extra holy men, these sages, so that when they speak, we listen. So they did the same thing. And it led them to a whole nother mess. But anyways, I'm just trying to show you that we do the same thing before you kind of point fingers at them, like, why would you just allow all of the Old Testament to be interpreted to two guys? We do the same thing. All right. But anyway, so Shammai, if you recall, Shammai, he was the more stringent school. So he had a more conservative view of the Old Testament and the Old Testament commands. And Hillel, he had a more lenient interpretation to the Old Testament. And let me give an example. Let me see. I'm trying to tell you, tell you the story that is well known about these two gentlemen. So there's a story of a Gentile came up to Shammai, and I'm going to chop it up, but hopefully you guys get the story. So there's a story of this Gentile, meaning not Jewish person, he came up to Shammai, and he said to Shammai, the rabbi, teach me the entire Old Testament while standing on one foot. Right? That's what he says. What he's basically saying is, give me the nuts and bolts that you can teach me the whole thing by standing on one foot. And the story goes, and this is in the Talmud, right? This is... Shammai says to that guy, get away, you're crazy, basically. There's no way I can teach you everything. Because remember, Shammai had the more strict view. It's like, no way, go away, shoo. This Gentile goes to Hillel and says, teach me the whole Torah on one foot. And he says, basically, don't do wrong things to others if you don't want them doing the wrong thing to you, basically. And he's like, that's the whole Torah. The rest is just commentary. Which sounds almost like Jesus, right? When he says treat others how you want them to be treated, how you want to be treated, right? So that's why people would say that Hillel would align more with Jesus. So that's just a short little story of how they, that little thing with those two guys. So now here's the key. So you have these two rabbinic thoughts, Hillel and Shammai. So all of these Pharisees that you read in your Bible, they were either part of one of those schools, Hillel or Shammai, right? If you believed that Shammai got it right and you were his disciple, then guess what? You would follow him and you would take on his yoke. And when you took on his yoke, it meant that you were taking on his framework of interpretation of the Old Testament commands and how to live a life that is pleasing to God. That's what it meant to take on a rabbi's yoke. So you believe that Shammai got it right? So, okay, I'm yoking myself up to Shammai, meaning that I'm going to read and interpret the Old Testament the way that Shammai does it, and whatever Shammai says how you ought to live a life that is pleasing to God, that is how I'm going to live. I'm taking on Shammai's yoke. If you believe that Hillel got it right, who was the more lenient guy, you would take on Hillel's yoke. And you would take on his framework for interpreting the Old Testament commandments of work and the Sabbath. And you would take on his interpretation or his way of how you ought to live a life that is pleasing to God. Is that clear? So now, this should make Jesus' statements a little bit more clear now. Actually, a lot more clear. So when Jesus says to come unto me and take on my yoke, He is saying, come unto me, take on my framework, my interpretation of the Old Testament. He's saying, come and take on my way of how you live a life that is pleasing to God. He's saying that I can show you what the blessed life looks like. I will show you how to go deeper with God. Follow me and basically not them. So that's why Jesus is saying, come unto me. Take on my yoke versus the yoke that was out there in the first century. He said, you come and take on my yoke, my teaching, my way of life. I have the right way. Basically saying it's not Shammai and Hillel and not your teachers, but my yoke. Come take on that and learn of me. So Jesus in this verse, he's saying that I have the path, not these other guys. To put this in a summary, saints, what we must be aware of is this. There's always going to be competing thoughts in this world from people telling us how to live the best life or how to live a life that is pleasing to God. You see, you had Rabbi Hillel, he had his view on how to live a life that is best pleasing to God. You had Rabbi Shammai that had his view on how to live a life that is pleasing to God. And as we go throughout our life, there's going to be other people that's going to tell us, this is how you live a good life. This is how you live a pleasing life to God. But again, Jesus is saying here in these verses to come unto me. Because I will show you the path that leads to life. I will show you the path that leads to rest. I will show you what the blessed life, the godly life, looks like. What that blessed life and that godly life look like? It looks like this. It looks like a life that hunger and thirst for justice. That life looks like a life that is merciful. That life looks like a life that is meek. That life looks like a life that strives for peacemaking. See, that's what Jesus shows us in the Beatitudes, in his teaching. He's showing us that life that all of these rabbis thought that they knew. They thought they knew how to live a life that is pleasing to God. They thought that they knew that life that would lead to eternal life. But Jesus is saying, no, it's found only in me. So come to me, take my yoke, take my teachings, my interpretations, my word, and I will show you those ways. So now as you get ready for your breakout session, what I want you to do is just to imagine yourself being a disciple of Jesus. And you are following him like his other disciples. You are taking on his yoke. And as you follow Jesus, he's going to teach you about these things that you're going to discuss. He's going to teach you about meekness. He's going to teach you about hungering and thirsting for justice and righteousness. So we're being real disciples of Jesus when we take on what he's saying. And so that's why I'm having us break into these small groups. And let's go discuss what Jesus is saying here on how to be a disciple of him. What it looks like, what the blessed life looks like. Because all these people can tell us what it looks like. But Jesus is the ultimate authority. He can show us what that blessed life looks like. And we find that in the New Testament scriptures. Particularly today, we're going to see it in the Sermon on the Mount. Okay? Is that all clear there? Are we good with yoke? We're going to get to the burden part, but I really want you to understand what Jesus means by taking this yoke. When you say, I'm a follower of Jesus, you're literally yoking yourself up to Jesus. When you say, I'm submitting to him, you're saying, I'm taking on your way of life. I'm saying your way of life is right. Your way of life leads to life. Your way of life is pleasing to God. That's what you're saying when you become a Christian. It's not just I believe you for salvation, but I'm also saying these other things as well. That you have the right way and not no one else. So let's take on that yoke as you go into your small groups and let's discuss just individually with your group one of the things that Jesus says that we ought to have, or what the blessed life looks like. And that's what you have in your groups.